Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I'm delighted. I have two guests in the studio, and I would firstly like to welcome you, Alison Metcalf. Alison, Executive Vice President of Tourism Ireland, North America, and you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian.
You will forgive me if I take a moment, like a personal moment, to welcome the other guest in the studio.
Absolutely.
Niall Gibbons, Head of Tourism Ireland Worldwide, CEO. You're very welcome.
Lovely to be back again, Adrian. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, we need to get this, you know, straightened out for openers. So with all due respect to Alison. Mayo, you were actually on the plane coming to New York for the second half of the game.
Yeah, one could argue there was a bit of a fix, you know, that they decided to draw the game so they could play it again in a week's time when I'm going to be home and I'll be able to watch it.
But that might lead us into, though, in wearing your Tourism Ireland cap, the significance of sports for tourism in Ireland has really grown and leaps and bounds. Sometimes we think, you know, of people go to Ireland for golf, but actually they go to Ireland for, you know, a lot of sports now.
Yeah, and I mean, that hurling match was on at the weekend that the big football game is on between Boston College and Georgia Tech, which was an amazing showcase from a tourism perspective. So those two college teams played in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin to an audience of well in excess of 35,000, of whom at least 20,000 travelled from the United States. So that's building on the success that we had seen, for example, with UCF and Penn State 2 years ago, Notre Dame and Navy 4 years ago, and there's a great sort of sense that, you know, Ireland has become a great destination now for these college football games. The game itself was very good, but it was great to see so many Americans in town. And also the Global Irish Football Tournament, which saw six high school teams come over. So what's encouraging there is that this is the next generation of kids who've probably never been to Ireland. Their mums or dads, the coaches are coming over. So they had a great time too. They played some games up in Donnybrook, and that adds to the whole sense of occasion. We've seen, you know, big ticket items like the Ryder Cup, you know, 11 years ago in 2006. Yeah. But I think one of the most exciting developments on the sporting scene at the moment is the bid that Ireland is putting together, Ireland, Northern Ireland, bidding for the Rugby World Cup in 2023. So that's really exciting, and Tourism Ireland, we're very glad to be part of the feasibility study on that.
Alison Metcalf again, Executive Vice President for North America. A couple of years ago, it would have been assumed, if we go back to the famous gathering, it would have been assumed by many people that this was a once-off. There was a gathering, marvelous, a terrific idea. It gave a great kickstart, you know, to the Wild Atlantic Way. But I don't think many people would have felt, you know, that this would improve. Maybe, if anything, okay, this is a great time, so now things will settle again. What role do you feel the gathering played in what has just been a phenomenal increase in?
Well, I think what the gathering did was it kind of, it really sort of reignited people's interest in Ireland, and particularly people perhaps with some kind of ancestral heritage to Ireland that perhaps hadn't visited for a long time. I think it got people together, and they came to Ireland for a variety of reasons. They came to golf, they came for family gatherings, they came to be part of all sorts of events and festivals. And I think it really just, it talked to the great welcome that was available in Ireland. And I think what we saw then in 2013 was from the US we hit 1 million visitors, so it really did take off. And you talked about the Wild Atlantic Way. I think what we've seen on the ground now in Ireland is a huge commitment, not only by the public and private sector to develop vacation experiences like the Wild Atlantic Way, like Ireland's Ancient East, like the new Dublin Breath of Fresh Air, but by people on the ground to really sort of bring that warmth of welcome, bring the authenticity of what it's like to vacation on into life. And so I think we've gone from strength to strength since the gathering. People came back, they had a great time. It was people who encouraged their friends to travel with them, and they've come back and spread the word. So that really sort of relaunched things, I think, as we came out of the economic recession. And I think that, you know, Ireland, we had invested through thick and thin, and yeah. people were excited to travel, and we've gone from strength to strength, you know, since that time, to such an extent that this year in 2016 will be have another record year. So quite phenomenal.
Niall, there obviously, when the Celtic Tiger got sick and the bubble burst, there was not much incentive to keep building, particularly in the area of hotels, you know, outside of Dublin, which will apparently will never have enough hotels. But throughout the country, what would you say was the primary reason that the expanding hotels at that period just kind of came to full stop?
Yeah, well, I mean, the economic slowdown impacted on every sector throughout the economy, including construction, including hospitality. But some of the success factors we've seen over the last number of years happened at a number of levels. The Irish government abolished air travel tax,
yes.
Which was 10 euros a passenger. That made it more competitive. I mean, meant more airlines put more seats in. So, for example, from North America, United States and Canada, this summer there were 48,000 seats every single week. Whereas at the previous peak in the Celtic Tiger was 35,000 every week. So that's significant.
Yeah.
Also, the government reduced VAT or sales tax from 13.5% to 9%. So that was a significant factor, because that was a lifeline to a lot of people that were really on the line, so to speak, in terms of their small business. I mean, our industry is made up of 18 to 20,000 small and medium-sized enterprises. So that VAT reduction was a significant benefit. I think then, you know, ideas like the gathering, you know, I think, you know, just Ireland being a very open destination from a tourism perspective, the brand was always very good. So even when the economic downturn came and that affected our economic reputation, it never affected our tourism reputation. And Ireland became very competitive. Hotels dropped prices, eating out became very cheap as well. And we saw it in numbers. So, for example, going back maybe 5-6 years ago, the number of tourists coming to the island of Ireland was less than 8 million. This year, if things keep going the way they're going, it'll top 10 million.
Now, is there a danger or is there a fear that because Ireland is in such huge demand, that again you may find that, you know, prices will be heading back up again? I mean, it would be difficult to assume that just because great numbers of people are coming in that the, you know, that the hospitality industry would say, you know, I might as well give them a break. I mean, realistically.
I think we have to be really careful here because, you know, demand has increased, more people are coming, and we don't have additional hotel accommodation capacity. So we have to ensure that we get the message home that people remain competitive and offer good value for money, otherwise we'll experience the same thing as we did before. We also have to remember the other big thing that's happened over the summer months is that the UK has voted to leave the EU. And the immediate impact there is that the value of sterling against the euro has changed to the tune of about 16%. So it's not just Ireland is more expensive for the British visitor, it's actually the whole eurozone is more expensive. The British take about 50 million trips abroad every year. Ireland is very dependent on that market, and we can't afford to price ourselves out of, you know, what is our biggest market.
You know, through the years, both of you have, you know, been talking about, you know, complacency and how, even as the numbers were rising, you know, we have to be mindful. I don't think anybody could have predicted that, you know, Brexit, the British exiting the, the European Common Market would have that kind of, that wasn't in the cards. I mean, I don't think anybody would have been able to predict, that. Was there a plan B in the event that would happen?
Well, I sit on the Export Trade Council, which is chaired by our Foreign Affairs Minister, Charlie Flanagan, and there was a lot of deliberation as to what might happen. And you know, Plan B is effectively in place. I mean, we have to keep a very close monitoring brief on what's going to happen. From a tourism perspective, we've always said that the common travel area is of paramount importance. We don't see a return to a hard border. I think all politicians are very much agreed on that. We also want to make sure that things like the British-Irish visa scheme, the UK visa waiver scheme are extended. They've been great success factors in growing our business from countries like India and China. And above all, you know, economic certainty is very important from a tourism perspective in general. And that's what's driving travel around the globe. When people feel confident, when people feel well off, they're more likely to take longer holidays and travel further afield. So hopefully whatever happens in relation to negotiations coming down the track from Brexit, consumer confidence will remain in place and people will still take lots of holidays.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if you can, in a position to answer this now, but what... on the international, on the Irish-British side of negotiations, is there enthusiasm? Is on the British side, what impetus is there to cater to Ireland when in fact they have bigger fish to fry?
Well, I mean, I can only speak from a tourism perspective, really, and I think political leaders from all shades of opinion across the island of Ireland and across the UK as well are all saying that the common travel area is really a no-brainer. I mean, that's the bottom line, that there's no practical capacity to go back to hard borders. Now, how that plays out in negotiations is a matter for politicians and others. But from our perspective, from a tourism perspective, it's important to bear in mind that for people going on their holidays to Northern Ireland, which has been another huge success story from a tourism perspective, you know, we've seen the majority of people coming from markets like North America actually enter Northern Ireland via the Republic of Ireland. So from that perspective, you know, common travel area is critical for all of us.
Let me ask you about, Alison Metcalf, I want to ask you about this. We had pretty much... almost forgotten to refer to shoulder seasons and off seasons because of the, you know, immense growth through the years. And yet we're looking at, Tourism Ireland now, worldwide, announcing or taking that word, you know, bringing it back into the dictionary again, the shoulder season, the off season. What's the reasoning?
Well, I think the shoulder season is a great time to travel. Obviously, it's less busy, it's less crowded, it offers great value, and Ireland is open year round. The reason to travel at that time of the year, I think, is quite obvious, and I think a lot of the smart travelers are doing that already. But Ireland offers a very strong proposition. I mean, there's lots of events and festivals, everything from the Belfast International Arts Festival, the Dublin Theatre Festival, Wexford Opera Festival, and I think for the culturally curious traveler, which is essentially who we are targeting in the US and Canada, they're interested in experiencing our culture year-round with a temperate climate. The other reason that we're keen to extend the season, and we've had some great success in this regard, is the fact that we have more flights traveling now from operating from both the US and Canada to Ireland, and it's important that we keep those flights flying year-round, that we sustain that air capacity. That's another reason that we've been promoting the shoulder season, and it's a time when a lot of our culturally curious travelers have the flexibility to travel. We've also started to promote Ireland to a slightly younger traveler, millennials, that we call them the social energizer, and again they have the time to travel. They're more predisposed to traveling in the shoulder months, any time between October, November, and March time. And we've seen some really good results, certainly from North America. Over the last 3 years, we've grown business during that quarter four period, so October to December, by about 32%. And quarter one this year, January to March in 2016, also was our best ever. So as we like to say, we don't have snow in Ireland. And and if you're traveling, particularly from the northeast, where it's often black and white, it's a great time to go. So lots happening, and I say the value is there, and the experience is just as good as it is at any other time of the year.
One would have to accept, Gibbons, that that shoulder season, that this particular season will draw perhaps almost as many as any other time of the year. their stay is generally shorter. Is that true?
Well, the shoulder season has really been expanding over the last number of years. You know, Alison mentioned some of the festivals that are going on and events. Yeah. The air capacity is playing a big role as well, because, for example, just in the last 12 months, we've seen a new Aer Lingus service from LA.
Yes.
We've got the new service that just started from Hartford, Connecticut. We've got a new Aer Lingus service from Newark. And the other airlines have been expanding capacity over the winter months as well. So it does make it easier to get there. There's some really good fares out there, too. I mean, I saw a promotion that we did with Aer Lingus a number of weeks ago, which is offering fares of, I think, $499 return, which is very, very good value. So, you know, people on average from this market stay about 8 days, you know, maybe a little bit short in the winter. But still, you know, look, I mean, there's this very good value around at that time of the year as well. There's a lot of hotel accommodation capacity that's available in the off-season. And some of our driest months, believe it or not, are actually in the winter.
Yes, I know. The fact that festivals and events and the massive variety of places and things to do and to see in Ireland, that also has to have, that has to be the result of the awareness of the various organizers, the festivals, the arts, everything. They had to figure that there are so many people here, so that if you had a traditional festival in the height of the summer or whatever it might be, you either moved it to then, or you put on another one of great.
Yeah, I think a lot of the festival organizers realize, and a lot of people on the ground, if we have a lot of things happening, people will come. And I think when people look at where they want to travel, particularly in those shoulder months, they do want to get a sense that there's lots of things going on. So that's where I think Ireland is offering a really good kind of opportunity to grow its business there. And we as Tourism Ireland, we roll out our marketing campaigns year round. We've just launched our fall campaign, but we start talking about holidays and vacations in the shoulder months back in May and June, and that's when people are beginning to sort of put their plans in place. And right now we're starting to promote our vacations for next spring. So there's quite a lead time there, but there's lots happening on the ground for sure. And I think, you know, people get a sense of whatever time of the year they go, they will not be, you know, spoilt for choice. There's tons of things happening, and that's really important, because it's a very competitive market environment out there, and we're fortunate to have, you know, 10% market share. So 1 in 10 Americans traveling to Europe are going to Ireland, which we think is pretty good for an island of our size.
I think that's a great note to end on. 1 in 10 Americans traveling to Europe. My God, that's great. Niall Gibbons, again, thank you for being here on your usual flying trip. You know, when you get off, you tell the pilot you'll be back soon.
Thanks very much for having me on the show. It's great to see you again.
And Alison, again, more success. You keep proving that there is no glass ceiling.
Thanks very much, Adrian.
And you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.